برای توی کوچه رخصیدن، برای ترسیدن به وقت بوسیدن، برای خواهرم، خواهرت، خواهرامون، برای تغییر مغزها که پوسیدن، برای شرمندگی، برای بیپولی، برای حسرت یک زندگی معمولی، برای کودک زبال گرد و آرزوهاش، برای این اقتصاد دستوری، برای این هوای آلوده، برای ولیعصر و درختای فرسوده، برای پیروز و احتمال انقراضش، برای سگهای بیگناه ممنوعه، برای گریه های بیوقفه، برای تصویر تکرار این لحظه، برای چهره ای که میخنده، برای دانش آموزا، برای آینده، برای این بهشت اجباری، برای نخبه های زندانی، برای کودکان افغانی، برای این همه برای غیر تکراری، برای این همه شعارهای تو خالی، برای آوار خونه های پوشالی، برای احساس آرامش، برای خورشید پس از شبای طولانی، برای غرصای اعصاب و بیخوابی، برای مرد میهن آبادی، برای دختری که آرزو داشت پسر بود، برای زن زندگی آزادی، برای آزادی، برای آزادی، برای آزادی.
The song you have just heard is entitled Bereya. It was written and sung by Iranian singer Sherwin Hajipour. It's known as the anthem of the 2022 Women, Life, and Freedom Uprising following the Iranian police murder of Jina Amini. The words recall the longings of youth who resist violence and injustices. He was arrested 2 days after the song was published. Welcome to Changing the Narrative with Dina Eccles. In 1948, the United Nations declared December 10th Human Rights Day. Regardless of how you feel about the UN, there is something magnificent in the Declaration of Human Rights, which set an international standard for the care and respect of human beings. Debates can rage about the usefulness or the success of that declaration, but I, for one, am grateful to see in print what my heart has always called for, universal dignity and respect. For those with tenderness towards our fellow humans and for all life on this exquisite planet, for those who recognize that the evolution towards good does not come without a price, and for those ready to champion and join the pioneers of that evolution, this podcast is for you. Very recently, I had the pleasure of speaking with Fatemeh Jamalpour, the exiled Iranian journalist, on her book, For the Sun After Long Nights. It chronicles the suffering and the barbarism shown to mostly young women of Iran as they stood for women, life, and freedom in 2022. This followed the brutal police slaying of the young Kurdish woman, Jina Amini. The stories are painful to learn, but I would never remove myself from that knowing. I found in Fatemeh a kindred spirit, a sister, and a champion for all of humanity. When she asked me to read the Evin Prison Baker's Club, Surviving Iran's Most Notorious Prisons in 16 Recipes, I was ready. The author, Sepideh Golian, lives the life of one who refuses to compromise her values and, more importantly, refuses to ignore the suffering of people. Imprisoned in Iran off and on since 2018, she found a way to gather the stories of many of her fellow captives, their sufferings, their joys, in this unforgettable book. The stories from young women in Iran are in many ways no different than those of women throughout the world where patriarchy has been allowed to cut into the dreams of youth. That's an old story, and one that every survivor of incest and abuse knows all too well. but what comes through both in For the Sun After Long Nights and in the Evan Prison Bakers Club is the women's sheer audacity to not only survive but to thrive, not only to carry the scars of torture and abuse, but to emerge as victors of hope and a better tomorrow. I'm honored to bring you these two remarkable human beings, and my hope is that calloused hearts will find some healing here so we can get on with the task at hand to free us all. So welcome, Sepideh and Fatima. Sepideh is coming to us from Iran, and Fatima, who is here in the States, will be helping to translate. I'm continually amazed by the courage of the Iranian women, and I'm grateful to have your expression, Sepideh, and your understanding of life there. I'd like to ask you, what gives you the courage to proceed, and where do you find, where, how do you source your love and your empathy?
یه که بهمون بگو شجاعتت از کجا میاد و عشق و همدلیت از کجا میاد، منبع چیه؟
من اولا ممنونم از این مصاحبه، خیلی ممنونم و خیلی خوشحالم به خاطر اینکه این فرصت رو دارم که با هم دیگه صحبت کنیم. من از ایران، شما از آمریکا، خیلی قشنگ برام این همدلیه، این پیونده. دو اینکه ممنونم که بهم میگین شجاع. ما مردم ایران هممون شجاع هستیم، خب همه از هم یاد میگیریم، منم از همشهریام، از زنایی که مدام میبینم توی خیابون، همه بهم یاد میدم و یاد میگیرم این شجاعت رو. ممنونم که اینو بهم میگید. عشق و همدلی، هم از ساکن جنوب کشورم، حاشیه جنوبم من، به خاطر همین ما اولین اصل زندگیمون همین همدلی و عشق داشتن و کنار هم بودنه. و ممنونم که بازم این فرصت پیش اومد که با هم دیگه صحبت کنیم.
So Sepideh says, I'm so grateful for this opportunity, this unity between you are in the US and I'm in the Iran means a lot to me. And I think all of the Iranian people and all of the Iranian women are courageous, and I'm learning from them, and I'm so proud of my people as well. So I think part of my love and empathy is come from at I'm Southerner. I'm from the south of Iran, so I have the empathy and love and passionate of the Southerner people by my side, and these are the first value of our life, having empathy and being united.
Thank you. So you beautifully characterize so many fellow prisoners, political prisoners, their sorrows, their passions, their tortures, their years in prison, and their strengths. Can you share some of those women with us?
میگه تو داستان زنهای زندانی خیلی زیادی رو گفتی، داستان قصه هاشون، سویشون، سالهایی که در زندان بودن و همینطور قدرتشون ها. دوست داری چند تا از داستانهای اونا رو با همون شیر کنی الان خودت؟
چرا که نه، با همین روایت کردن زندگیم ادامه میدیم. من هنوز با کماکان با اون زنها پیوندم و دارم محکمتر از قبل. با هم دیگه کار میکنیم کماکان، از البته نه همه، بعضی هاشون. هنوز تماسایی از زندان دارم، هنوز قصه هاشون رو برام میگن، هنوز با قصه هاشون زندگی میکنم. آره، دلم میخواست الان قصه شیدا رو بگم بهتون. میتونم قصه، یعنی شیدا کسیه که الان با ما داره کار میکنه توی کارگاه. شیدا زندانی قتلی توی زندان سپیدار بود که کودک همون اصطلاح کودک همسری قربانیش کرده. شیدا ازدواج میکنه به زور با پسر عموش در سن خیلی کم، بعد از اون خیلی تحت فشارهای شدید پسر عموش بوده، هر چقدر میخواد طلاق بگیره نمیتونه. بعد از اون توی همون دوره به یه پسر دیگه دل میبنده و سعی میکنه که طلاق بگیره، اما اجازه نمیدن. و تو سن 18 سالگی وقتی که پسر میاد با همسر شیدا صحبت کنه دم در خونه که ما شیدا دیگه نمیتونه با تو زندگی، از روز اول نخواسته تو رو و از 14 سالگی به زور اون با تو ازدواج کرده و اجازه بده که طلاق بگیره، اونها همسر درگیر میشه با شیدا و میخواد اون پسر رو بکشه، اما خب توی نزاع خود شوهر شیدا کشته میشه و شیدا و پسره سالها زندان موندن و من تو زندان سپیدار باهاشون آشنا شدم. و بعد از اینکه دوست شیدا اعدام شد، شیدا رو بعد از یه مدت یعنی خانواده همسرش رضایت دادن و ایشون آزاد شد و الان با همدیگه کار میکنیم و خیلی عجیبه. اون پر از قلبش، پر از قصه های عجیبیه که تو این سالها باهاشون مواجه شده و دچار تروماهای شدیدی شده و من قسم خوردم با خودم، یعنی یک تعهدی دارم، یک عهدی بستم که تا لحظه ای که هستم و توانی دارم تلاش کنم برای لغو احکام اعدام. و ما با پدیده الان توی ایران مواجه هستیم که روزانه داریم کشته میدیم به اسم اعدام، و خب هر کسی توی ایران ممکنه مرتکب، یعنی به شکل بالقوه یک اعدامی محسوب میشه، چون قانون ما اینه، قانونی که ما قانون مجازات اسلامی، یک قانونیه که متاسفانه خیلی قانون ضد بشری هستش و ممکنه هر کسی هر لحظه با هر اتهامی با هر کاری مجازاتش اعدام باشه و اتفاق و دچار خودش و بازمانده خودش یا اعدام بشه یا اینکه بازمانده هاشون درگیر تروماهایی بشن که هیچ وقت دست از سرشون بر نمی داره. و من الان با یه سریاشون دارم کار میکنم که یکیش همین شیداست که قصهشو گفتم. واقعا یک شبهایی به این فکر میکنه که حتما خودشو بکشه، چون معمولا زندانی های عادی وقتی که آزاد میشن شرایط خوبی در خارج از زندان ندارن و خب و واقعا اعدام نابود میکنه. به خاطر همین هر قصه من واقعا دلم میخواد قصه هایی بگم که یعنی روایت کنیم از این زنها، از کسایی که درگیر این قضیه اعدام هستن که تعدادشون کم نیست. توی زندانهای ایران پر از این چیزهاست، پر از این اعدامی هاست که قطعا قصه های دیگه در موردشون خواهیم گفت.
Sabine is saying that, okay, sure, I'm here to talk about them. It's my life responsibility. I'm still in touch with the female prisoner inside Iran, inside the prison. We are still working together. We are connected. We are bonded. And I'm alive to tell their life stories and narrative these stories. So I want to mention the story about Sheida, a female prisoner that I met in the Sepidar prison in Ahvaz, in southern Iran, Khuzestan province. She was the victim of child marriage. When she was 14, she was forced to marry her cousin, and he was doing many domestic violence, beating her a lot, and she wanted to get divorced, but she was not able. When she was 18, she met a guy and fell in love with him and asked a lot and did a lot of effort to just get divorced and be released from that forced marriage. But unfortunately, one day the guy came to talk to her husband and they started to fighting. And accidentally, her husband got killed. And because of that, Sheida and that boyfriend got sentenced to execution. And after that boyfriend got executed, the family of the husband accepted that she wouldn't sentenced to execution. And I'm still working with Sheida. She got released and we are working in the leather workshop together. She's suffering from many traumas. I swear to myself and I promise to myself that I do all my best to try to diminish and stop execution in Iran, because execution is the unfair punishment. Sorry. In daily life, many people got executed across Iran, and each person could be the victim, possible victim of execution, because of the Islamic Sharia rule that is against the human right, because each moment, each person could be sentenced to execution according to Islamic justice law, and is inhumane because the people who got sentenced to execution and also their family members and their loved ones are involving too many traumas that never wouldn't be treated and healed, and it would be intergenerational traumas, and many of them doing suicidal thing and committed suicide because of all those traumas, and wouldn't have the good life even if they got pardoned. The execution destroyed many lives, and I think as a person and as a human, I it's my life duty to do my best to stop execution sentence in Iran.
Well, thank you, Sefid.
Tell more stories about captive prisoners, female prisoner in Iran.
Right. Well, that's very powerful to understand. And I don't think we get much information out of Iran. I don't think our media tells the stories. And which is why both of your books are so important to get to the American public and to learn. So, on a, I mean, we are talking about a book about baking too. So, I would love you to talk about your baking, how that happened, because the thinking about baking in a prison and the way you talk about it is amazing. So if you could talk about that a little bit.
سفید نگاه خیلی قدرتمند بود و مردم معمولا نمیشنون که چه اتفاقی داره تو ایران میفته، و کتاب های شما این اپورچونیتی رو فراهم میکنه و گفت داستان گفتنتون که مردم بشنون. گفت دوست دارم راجع به قنادی کردنت بشنوم، اینکه چطور تو زندان شروع کردی به قنادی، و یکم راجع به برامون بگو.
بگو که قنادی واقعا یه چیزی تو وجود من که از من جدا نمیشه، اینقدر بهم نزدیکه. پس هر جا که باشم این کار رو ادامه میدم، چه تو سلول، چه آزادی، چه تو خونم، چه تو اتاقم، با کوچکترین چیزها. اگر شده یه دونه یه قالب کره کوچیک جیره که توی سلول میدادن، با اون تا چه میدونم چیزای بزرگتری که گاهی توی زندانهای عمومی ما میتونیم بهش دسترسی داشته باشیم، و با تلاش فراوان، با دعوا، درگیری، با مطالبه گری ما میتونستیم بسیار چیزا را داشته باشیم. قنادی برای من شیرینی پختن یک کاری جمعی و یک پیوندی با هم بندیان بود. تو هر زندانی هم رفتم اینو ادامه دادم، یعنی با شیرینی پزی یه چیز رو میساختیم که میتونستیم مبارزمون رو باهاش قوی تر کنیم. توی زندان سپید بوشهر ما حتی حرف زدن همونجوری که توی کتاب گفتم، حرف زدن با همدیگه هم ممنوع بود، اما با به واسطه همون قنادی، همون شیرینی پزی، تونستیم آزادانه یک جاهایی از زندان رو برای خودمون به دست بیاریم، و یه ساعتهایی رو برقصیم، یا یه ساعتهایی رو روسریمون رو در بیاریم، یک ساعتهایی این کارها رو بکنیم که برای خود زندانیا خیلی عجیب بود. یعنی روحیه ما وقتی که قنادی می کردیم، تا قبل از اینکه نمیتونستیم این کار بکنیم، زمین تا آسمون متفاوت بود. و خب هم میگم که هر جا با هر امکاناتی ما سعی میکردیم این کار رو انجام بدیم، نقطه اتصال ما به زندگی بود، هم برای ما هم برای خانواده ها. یعنی ما چه روزهایی که درست میکردیم به خانواده ها میدادیم، چه روزهایی که توی زندان اوین ما توی سختترین شرایط با قنادی، با شیرینی پختن، واقعا تلخی ایامونو به شیرینی بدل میکردیم.
So, Sepia says that baking is an untouchable as, no, let me think about better phrase. Baking is a part of her soul and her life that couldn't be divided from the entire it. And she's doing baking in the cell when she got released, in home, in room, with the limited things, with the most, smallest things, like the small cup of the butter that was a daily, portion of breakfast in the prison, even in the solitary cell. And until the, public ward, that it would be more, accessible thing like chocolate or sugar or powder. And she said, we demanded a lot to just get the baking stuff inside the prison because it was collective thing for us. And it was how I got bonded with my cellmate in prison. And it was part of our fight because it helped us to be more strongest. Like, as I wrote in the book, in Butcher Prison, even cellmates and prisoners couldn't talk to each other. It was banned. And for us, asking to run that bakery room means having time to talk together, to dance together, and to remove the scarves and hijab from our hair for even an hour. And our motivation and our mental health situation before and after doing baking and running that small bakery difference was the difference between the ground and sky was huge. It's kind of Persian idiom, to say the
اینو
least.
هم بگو که من اینو هم اضافه کن که من برای مادرای گاه شیرینی پختم که باردار بودن تو زندان و ویارشون شیرینی بود و اون لحظه ای که براشون شیرینی میپختم بهشون شیرینی میدادم یعنی خودشون میگفتن که انگار مثلا حبس بر ما آسون تر شده، یعنی مثلا خیلی چه تو زندان سپیدار که ما با کره آب کردن این کارو میکردیم توی فلاسک، چه توی زندان اوین که یه ذره امکانات بیشتر بود.
And when she baked for the pregnant prisoner, the pregnant women prisoner, and they really wanted to have sweet and they didn't have, they said that it makes the imprisonment easier for them. Like in Boucher prison, they use the boiling water to make baking, or in the oven that they can have an oven. And whenever Sepide was, the baking was the connecting point to the life for her. Like when they could bake for their family members to bring the, sweet and cakes for the family members during the visiting time, limited visiting monthly time, or for baking for the other captives and cellmate. And Sepide says, by baking, we turn the bitterness of imprisonment to the joy.
Ah, yes, and that comes across the way you talk about it. And I'm not a baker. My wife is a baker, and we're going to try your recipes. And I love the encouragement you gave for non-bakers. So there's 16, I believe, recipes. So we'll be trying them because they sound delicious.
Thank you. دینا گفتش که من خانومم بیکره و میخوایم این 16 تا رو با هم دیگه بپزیم و اینکه ممنون از شجاعتی که به غیر بیکرها دادی.
و قربونت برم و حتما توی تماس ویدیویی با همدیگه این کار رو انجام بدیم توی یک از رسپی ها حتما.
I would love to bake one of the recipe with you in a video call.
We should do that. I think we'll do that. We'll set that up.
میگن انجامش میدیم حتما. خیلی خوبه.
I wish people could see. We're doing this by Zoom, and I wish people could see you and how animated you are. And I feel like I can understand a lot of your words just by watching you speak.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to Changing the Narrative with Dina Eccles, speaking with Iranian author Sepida Golian on her book, The Evin Prison's Baker's Club, with translation from journalist and author Fatima Jamalpour at the WDRT studio in Viroqua. All right, so now I want to talk about the strength of the women, and even in abuse, there's words in your book when the women yell out, "I have been violated, people, I have been violated," or they sing a song, "The judge loved me," and feminism taught me this. I mean, the strength of rebellion. Could you talk about that?
میگه میخوام راجع به قدرت زنها بگی، راجع به اون لحظه ای که همشون فریاد میزنن که ما مورد آزار جنسی قرار گرفتیم، یا اون سرود رو میخوندن که قاضی عاشق منه. میخوام راجع به این لحظه ای بگی که اونا تصمیم گرفتن که طغیان کنن.
من فکر میکنم که یعنی تجربه من همیشه هم بهش فکر میکنم اینه که هر زنی در هر جایی از این از ایران برای من عجیب، زیر شدیدترین ستم ها و تحقیر ها هم باشه، اون لحظه ای که بخواد عصیان کنه واقعا هر قدرتی رو که اون بالا وایساده رو پایین میاره. یعنی به چشم دیدم بارها، از فرقی هم نداره در مورد زندان یا سیاسی حرف نمیزنم، با زنهایی صحبت میکنم که ما تمام اتهام هامون توی زندان سیاسی هم به نوعی، چون زنهایی هستن که معمولا به خاطر فشارهای اقتصادی وارد زندان میشن که مستقیما برمیگرده به جمهوری اسلامی، زنهایی هستن که به واسطه قتل اتفاقای ناموسی توی زندان هستن یا اتفاقای از این دست که بعدا میتونیم در موردش صحبت کنیم. به خاطر همین و تقریبا خیلی تمام اتهامای ما سیاسی هستن توی زندان های ایران و اون مرز رو من با هیچ زندانی احساس نکردم برای خودم و زندانی های عادی، با ازشون یاد گرفتم اون لحظه ای که میخواستم بلند بشن، اون لحظه لحظه ای بود که هر قدرتی رو از اون بالا می آوردن پایین و ثابت میکردن چقدر قدرتمندن، میخواستن خواستن رو ازشون یاد گرفتم و طغیان کردن رو. واقعا عصیانشون بی نظیره، خصوصا در ایران. به هر حال من شاهد زنده اتفاق رخدادهایی هستم که توی ایران اتفاق افتاده میفته اتفاق افتاده و خواهد افتاد، ولیکن ازشون خیلی یاد گرفتم.
Ali, Sabide says that I witnessed many Iranian women in the prison from across the country, their rebellion moment. And I realized that doesn't matter if they were, how much they were suppressed, if they were like in not educated to, you know, Dawit family in a small village or across the country, they have those rebellion moment that they tend to be a rebellion vine and taking the power to the ground, and doesn't matter, they always do that, they turn the power to the ground in their life. And I believe that all the female prisoners in Iran are political prisoners, because like some women are there because of the economic situationship that is, you know, ending in the Islamic Republic corruption, or other women are there because of the murder related to the forced marriage and honor killing related team and honor things. And from my point of view, all of these charges are political. So our Iranian female prisoners are political prisoners. But what I learned from those women, I should say, I never feel that there is differences for between me and them, as I was political prisoner and they were not, as I mentioned. I learned a lot from those, you know, public female prisoners, because I witnessed their rebellion moment a lot and I learned from them a lot. I learned how to take the power to the ground. And I think in Iran, I am the eyewitness of a sort of all of this history now, current and in the future, and I'm always learning from them.
Yes, thank you, and we're learning from you.
I should say in Farsi it was more powerful. I wish I could do better job for this question.
Oh, you're doing, I think we're doing really great, and I think it's really important to say, in case people missed it, that the understanding that all women imprisoned in Iran are political prisoners, regardless of the circumstances. I was also very touched by your mentioning of Palestine and Syria, Afghanistan, Yemeni women and children. There's a phrase, a world drowned in massacres. And I was really touched by how you always could see yourself and the others with empathy and defiance. I just want to say Thank you for your humanity.
سمیت گفتش که من واقعا تحت تاثیر قرار گرفتم اون جایی که راجع به زنهای فلسطینی، سوری، افغان یا یمنی زنها و بچه هاشون حرف زدی و اونجایی که گفتی جهان بر اساس قتل عامه و هم دیدید واقعا منو تحت تاثیر قرار داده. Do you want her to talk about
She
it?
can. She can.
Yeah. Want to talk about میخوای راجبش حرف بزنی؟
من اصلا دقیقا یادم نیست آقا چی گفتم، ولی خب ذهنیت خودم هست همیشه. میخواد در مورد نمیدونم
آره.
حرف.
باید راجع به همدلی اینکه مثلا جنسیت مرز نداره.
اوکی، همه حرف رو که زدیم دیگه.
Yeah, she
آره
said, she said, I'm...
یادم دارم فکر میکنم دقیقا چه لفظی رو به کار بردم که بهش فکر کنم، اما آره من یادم یه تصویر سیب زمینی پوست کندن از یه زن سوری خیلی من تحت تاثیر قرار داده بود تو جنگ، و یه تصویر نونپزی یه شخصی توی خرابای بازم حلب بود فکر کنم. انقدر تحت تاثیر قرار گرفتم از اینکه یه زن هنوز داره بقایای زندگی رو توی خرابه ها، توی بمب و موشک و توی جنگ داره پیدا میکنه، و ما دقیقا کارمون همینه. کار ما فرقی نمیکنه، حلب، ایران، تهران، خوزستان، توی چیزی با هم دیگه مشترکیم. این لحظه ای که باید این بقایای زندگی رو پیدا کنیم، به هم پیوند بدیم و طغیان کنیم علیه هر ستمی و پیروز هم میشیم.
She said there are many inspiring footage about the women finding life, like a woman who cutting the potato, a Syrian one, or another one baking bread among the destroyed part of her home. And for me, it was about witnessing how women trying to survive among the destroyed, you know, life under the bombing and missile and finding life. By cooking and by putting the remaining parts of life together. And I think it doesn't matter if it's in Iran, Syria, Palestine, Khuzestan, Tehran, we are all united in finding life among bitterness and hardship and also rebellion against suppressive. And I think we will win at the end.
Ah, you know, you exemplify, both of you, all of us, exemplifying the best of humanity and what we can be. And I'm so happy to have this conversation with you that it will air on Human Rights Day, that we need to bring awareness, more and more awareness to one another. But I also want to make sure we take time to talk about your latest project of the leather making, building of purses with women who were previously incarcerated and even those who are still incarcerated.
سبی راجع به کارگاه چرم بگو، راجع به کار کردن با زنهایی که هنوز تو زندانن و از زندان آزاد شدن و اینکه داری چی کار میکنی.
تجربه بی‌نظیریه. یکی از دوستای من که اتهامش قتل بود توی زندان و تونسته بود رضایت شاکی رو بگیره، متاسفانه چند ماه پیش، هلوش 4 ماه و نیم پیش، وقتی که از زندان آزاد شده بود به خاطر مشکلات اقتصادی مجبور شده بود خودش رو بکشه و ما اونو از دست دادیم. این خیلی برای من تلخ بود. فکر کردم که ما واقعا داریم برای بقا توی ایران زندگی میکنیم. ما هیچ پولی نداریم، هیچ حمایتی از جانب دولت که نمیشیم هیچی و نمیخوایم هم بشیم، ضمن اینکه شرایط اقتصادیمون وحشتناکه. تمام مردم ایرانی که به جمهوری اسلامی به نحوی بس نباشن و مردم عادی ایران، تمامشون دارن برای بقا زندگی میکنن و شرایط خیلی سختی داریم. فکر کردم به عنوان کوچکترین عضو این خانواده یک حلقه خیلی کوچیکی از زنها تشکیل بدم و کنار همدیگه یک کار مستقلی را بندازیم که با همدیگه کار کنیم و ضمن این کار یک کارای کنار همدیگه باشیم و بتونیم همدیگه رو ساپورت کنیم، از هم حمایت کنیم. و خب قشنگیش اینه که من از اینجا توی ایران، توی شهر الان در حال حاضر سربندر، میتونم با آمریکا که با شما باشیم در مورد این کارگاه صحبت کنم. یه زنجیری ما تشکیل دادیم که محکمه، قرارم نیست با این چیزا پاره بشه و خب قرار با همدیگه کار کنیم، زندگی کنیم و بمونیم تا روز پیروزی. ما کیف درست میکنیم، اینو هم بگو. ما این هنر رو توی زندان، البته توی زندان این کار میکردیم، کیف میدوزیم و کیف های زنانه. حالا به زودی عکس های اون کیف ها هم منتشر میشه که خیلی روشون زحمت کشیدیم.
So Sepide said about 4 months ago, one of my former cellmates got released from the prison, and because of our horrible economic situation and doesn't have any money and economic pressure, she committed suicide and I lost her. So I realized that we should fight to survive and to still to be alive. And there is no money inside the country. The only people who have money and could survive are the people who are related to the regime. And the majority of people are only surviving, or the people are experiencing the horrific economic situation and inflation. And the majority are just trying to survive. So I realized that as a small member of this community, I can connect a small circle of the women, and we could run our independent business and our independency and agency. So I am really optimistic about it, as now I'm in Sarbandar, a small city in my south, in the south of Iran, and I'm talking to you about this business. So it's the circle of unity and being united that we are making together to supporting each other, and we will go to be alive by this. And this is a business that I learned when I was in prison. In prison, I learned how to make the leather bags, and we get our independency and earning our living expenses by making those leather bags. So I realized that I could continue it with working with my estee cellmate in prison and the other women who got released like myself, to support each other, to stay connected, and to win at the end.
Yes, to win at the end. Absolutely. So yes, I will have to definitely check into these bags and encourage people. We'll put up the information about it so that if people want to can afford the bags.
My love and real resistance, and they are so pretty, you know, and delicate. So you could have one as a gift.
Yeah, buy it as a gift, right? Because yeah, I don't really carry purses, but I'm happy to. So. Well, this has been an amazing conversation. I'm honored to have you both. I'm excited by knowing you. Also, I'm probably twice your age. So to see your enthusiasm, your clarity, your optimism, in spite of so much trauma and pain, is very encouraging to me, because I want to see the world improve. I want to see it good for everyone. And so you're giving me this opportunity is really a blessing for me as well. So thank you. And we will have that video. We will do the video, the baking video. We will do that.
Sure. Amazing. Thank you. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to be here for Sepide and other female political prisoners in Iran. And thanks to you for providing this opportunity. Thanks for your solidarity and sisterhood.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, blowing you kisses. We're blowing each other kisses. And I feel that. I feel those kisses. And I feel the sisterhood, which sometimes that's the hardest part for me, is that lack of community, because here a lot of times we've been told to be rugged individuals and separate from one another. So to find community is very precious. So thank you. Thank you both.
ببینم یه به حرف بزن خدافزی و اینا بر ترجمه کنم. گفت خیلی خفن بود و عالی بود و خیلی اینسپایرینگ بود برای من، الهام بخش بود برام، چون من الان تقریبا دو برابر سن تو رو شماها رو دارم و این خیلی برام زیباست که مقاومت و امپاتی و همدلی و اینای شماها رو ببینم و حتما هم اون ویدیوی آشپزی رو با هم دیگه میسازیم و دیگه یالم چیزای خوب دیگه هم با.
آره حتما متوجه شدم، آره نمیتونم متوجه میشم یه چیزایی. خب خیلی دارم بهش بگو ممنونم که این فرصت رو فراهم کردی، امیدواریم بتر کنیم با هم دیگه بزودیم.
He said, I love you. Thank you for this opportunity and we're gonna make it.
Yes.
The Iranian women's leather shop that Sepideh spoke of is called Sarina, in honor of a teenage woman vlogger murdered during the Women, Life, and Freedom uprising. If you would like to help support the Sarina Women's Leather Shop, please contact Fatima at fateme.jamalpur@gmail.com, or you can donate via Venmo at fatime-jamalpur. Or you can reach out to me, and I'll help connect you. Sisters helping sisters, eh? So we're going to end with a couple famous Iranian songs. One is The Winter is Over, that Sepideh mentions in her book, The Evin Prison Bakers Club, and it's sung by Azat Jam. And a Kurdish song, Lay Lay, by Tara Jaff.
Thank you.
This has been Changing the Narrative with Dina Eccles, speaking with Iranian author Sepideh Golian, with translation from journalist and author Fatima Jamalpour. Thanks to WDRT for the use of the studio and to Kelly Kopisch for engineering this podcast. Let us continue to learn from and about one another. Let us change the narrative from violence and misogyny to peace and goodwill. And may we take heart in the courage of the young Iranians who proclaim women, life, and freedom. Thank you all for listening. Be well.